following Packers Green 19 podcast is a production of JS Online and Packers News. And now, here are your hosts, Jim Ozarski and Tom Silverstein.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is the latest edition of the Green 19 Packers podcast, previewing the Packers at Houston Texans. I am Jim Ozarski, along with co-host Tom Silverstein of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and PackersNews.com. And Tom, here we are, kind of looking back a little bit at the Packers' first loss of the season, 38-10, drubbing at the hands of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and looking ahead at a 1-5 matchup with a Houston team that is already on to its interim coach and some issues going on down there, interim GM, if you will, also. But I'd be remiss to not start this with just sort of an interesting, I guess, vibe, if you will, over Zoom, which is our first experience with this in 2020. Normally, you know, Tom, we're asked that question, or we can talk about, you know, the feel of a locker room while we can't be in it. So Monday, I think Billy Turner was a little salty talking about the loss. You know, I think he said something, we only want to talk to him on days when things go bad, which I don't think he knows we don't have a choice when we talk.
Which is really funny since we don't pick the players to throw up. But let him go ahead and think that. That's okay.
Yeah. And then on Wednesday, Aaron Rodgers was clearly perturbed. I don't know if it was right off the bat or just in general before he sat down, although we shouldn't project that on him, Tom.
Right. And it's kind of a touchy bunch. You know, they seem a little defensive coming off of that loss. I will say this, though. The one guy who matters a lot was LaFleur, who I thought was pretty stand-up throughout the whole week, has not deflected off of how bad a performance it was, not really taken offense to people talking about it that way. And that's usually a pretty good sign. You know, if a guy is honest with his team about how they played, I think that does a lot for allowing the team to move on. And I think that was part of the frustration, was that people are wanting to rehash the Tampa game and these guys want to move on. They don't want to think about it anymore. They got to watch the tape and get singled out for all their mistakes. And I don't think they ever want to see that game again.
Which, to LaFleur's credit, now it's been 21 regular season games. They have not lost very many, Tom. But when they do lose, they tend to get pounded. But also, they win afterwards. They have yet to stack consecutive losses, if you will. They've won every one of those. They put together a four-game win streak after the loss in against Philly. They put together, I think, a five-game win streak after the loss in San Francisco. And then if you want to count opening this year with four straight wins after ending last year with a loss. So, and Rodgers did say that. I mean, he said, look, at the front of the room, there's no roller coaster of emotion there. So in terms of projecting ahead, if we can do that, that probably bodes well in terms of just the prep and the way the coaches handle things.
Yeah, I think it does, because the schedule bends their way again, you know, with facing Houston and then coming home after that. And I think Minnesota's after that, right? At home.
Yeah, a bad Vikings team.
Yeah, so I think it's still very notable to mention that, you know, every time they play a team that has Super Bowl aspirations itself, they don't seem to really play up to that level. And, you know, they just, for whatever reason, their biggest butt kickings have come against teams they got to beat to, you know, show dominance in the NFC.
Yeah, that is a good point, Tom. And I think we may be having this conversation again Friday morning in November, November 6th, I want to say, after they go to San Francisco.
Yeah.
Because, again, I still maintain that Kyle Shanahan and Robert Saleh know what they're doing, and that team's going to hang around despite all those injuries. But bringing it back here, you know, I understand guys that want to rehash stuff, and that's this interesting thing about the Zoom culture or workspace we're in. Like, Preston Smith is not going to meet with us this week. It's the first time all season, in his defense. But also last week, he kind of got a little irritated with being asked about only having a half a sack. Or we wondered why he was being asked that despite the contracts. Zadarius Smith has been relatively scarce this year as well. So what does that mean? I don't know, but I think it's fair to point out that even though the team is 4-1, there are some deficiencies and we don't see everybody and the guys we have seen maybe don't seem as thrilled. I don't know. I think it's just worth mentioning.
Yeah, I think it is. And you know, you kind of find out what a team is made of when they have these days when they get their butts kicked, and how do they react to it? And do they just take the easy way out, or do they, you know, you kind of see who stands up and who doesn't. And I think certain guys in their locker room are going to be okay, win, lose, or draw. I mean, they'll take a pretty even keel throughout the year. And, you know, Davante Adams is one of those guys. Adrian Amos is one of those guys. Kenny Clark is one of those guys. Aaron Jones. You know, so they have some of those type of guys, and you just don't want a lot of guys who are emotional wrecks after losing games. And then they, you know, they don't want to face the public, or they don't want to, they can't handle losing, you know, that they can't handle the criticism. So, you know, the more guys you have that can handle it, I always think that that's kind of the more mature team. So, you know, it doesn't mean that they're going to stink this season, but I really want to see when are they going to beat a really good team, and or at least not get beat really badly by a good team. And I'm not sure we'll know that till San Francisco.
Yeah, it's it is interesting, and you know, and again, they did beat Seattle in the playoffs after a bye, and I mean, they have won obviously some games, but it's just you know, every team is a new team, as they say, Tom. Even if it's the same cast of characters, it's not, the dynamics change. So you're right, and Matt LaFleur had said that, I think, right after the game in Tampa. We'll find out who we are as coaches and players. And look, Houston. Well, before we get to the to the Texans specifically, let's hit on the left tackle situation. David Bakhtiari injured a chest in Tampa Bay. He tripped over John Lovett on a run play. I asked Matt LaFleur if he thought William Golston's sort of extra effort dive on Bakhtiari was an issue. He chose not to address that. So I don't know if he was hurt on the fall or with 300 pounds falling on him.
It looked to me like Golston's knee kind of got him in the ribs. So I wonder if there's a rib issue. Chest is often associated with ribs, you know, or it could be a bruised sternum or something like that. But it looked to me like it was Golston landing on him. I didn't see anything dirty with it. Yeah, he kind of came down on him, maybe unnecessarily, but that kind of stuff happens. So it's either way, it's a significant loss for the Packers if he can't play. And I'm starting to wonder, after not seeing him either day. He wasn't doing much today, Thursday in practice. He was just on the side, kind of sitting around. So I would be really surprised if he played. On the other hand, he's made some miracle comebacks in the past too. So I guess I wouldn't be surprised if he played either.
Yeah, I think I fortunately, Tom, have never broken any ribs or damaged any cartilage in there. But those who have, both athletes and otherwise, say it is the most uncomfortable and you know, painful type of deal. I mean, you can't sleep, you can't breathe. And here we are wondering if this guy could play a football game and take, you know, hits to that chest and, you know, run up and down a field. So you're right that it could, don't want to speculate on what a chest injury is, but I'm just saying, you know, that's not to even tough guys that there's a limit to a degree what they can manage.
Yeah. And it depends on whether they can shoot it up or not. You know, if it's an injury that it's just pain. I mean, a lot of those rib injuries just come down to how well you can withstand the pain level, and they can shoot you up with stuff to get you through the game if it's there's no danger in, you know, it becoming a lot worse. So that's always a possibility. But, you know, I think we have to assume that he's not going to play at this point right now.
Which is every Packers fan's worst nightmare, because as I think, Tom, as long as Bakhtiari has been that guy, backup left tackle has been an issue. Now in Brian Gutekunst's defense, most teams in the league don't even have a good left tackle, and no one has two left tackles. So backup is always a problem for all 32 teams. I feel good saying that because, I mean, again, you just don't see teams. Some teams don't even have good starting right and left tackles. You know what I mean? So yeah. Rick Wagner was first man up in the game. Didn't go great.
He can't do it. He is not a candidate. He showed that you got to stick him on the right side, and that's what he knows. And at his age, that's going to be where he's going to play.
So what do you foresee? What have you, so Bakhtiari's not practicing. Now, granted, to remind folks, in season, we don't get to see much in practice, but
we don't know.
Get to see a little. So what have you seen, and what's your gut on how they manage this if Bakhtiari can't go?
Well, so their options are they could bump Elgton Jenkins out to left tackle. He's their most athletic offensive lineman. And he's already showed he could play right tackle. I'm sure he could play left tackle. I don't think that would be an issue. But to move him to left tackle, then you have to replace your left guard. And I don't think they are ready to start John Runyon there, especially since all he's really played is right guard. And so, you know, what you would end up doing is moving like three guys. So you'd put, you bump Turner to right guard, Wagner to right tackle, Lucas Patrick to left guard, and Elgton Jenkins to left tackle. So you've moved four people, and that's just not ideal. So I think they have to move Billy Turner over there. And then they can leave Elgton Jenkins in a spot. They can put Wagner at right tackle where he's most comfortable. And that gives them their best five. I would be nervous about Billy Turner at left tackle, but probably more nervous about that other scenario I gave you if I'm the Packers.
Yeah. I mean, for discussion purposes, John Runyon Jr. is listed as the backup left guard and the backup right guard, with Lucas Patrick, you know, being a starter at this point. And Houston, they're bad, but they've got talent, namely J.J. Watt and Whitney Mercilus is still out there. And, they've got Zach Cunningham, an inside linebacker with a couple sacks. And, you know, I mean, they can still pressure.
They can pressure, but their defense is god-awful. It's really bad. I mean, they're just getting gashed. I mean, they have a decent amount of sacks. I think they got like 16. And J.J. Watt's always a problem, but you can double-team him. And you want to be solid and have your five best on there so that you can take advantage of the weakness of this defense.
You mentioned the five best. So to wrap up this conversation on left tackle, I've said this, I usually think that's coach speak. I thought that was coach speak during camp when mm-hmm. it was, five best. And then lo and behold, you know, Elton Jenkins started at right tackle in Minnesota. So I will give them that. I mean, they have proven at least going into a game that they're willing to do that. Yeah. So yeah, maybe it is Billy Turner over on the left side. And let's face it, if Elton Jenkins remains at left guard, you know, you don't normally have to help David Bakhtiari, but if you're going to have to help Billy Turner, having one of the better left guards in the NFC there to help is
exactly.
Yeah.
You're going to slide your protection to JJ Watt every time or leave a running back over there to try to help double team. Although that's not necessarily a winning proposition either, but you know, Billy Turner will have to block Whitney Mercilus on his own at times, and that's what they're paying him to do. So I don't think it's any different than what he would be doing at right tackle, really, because either way, they're going to slide to J.J. Watt, and so he was going to wind up one-on-one one way or the other. He's just going to have different footwork now.
Yeah, and Billy Turner, of course, is a reminder for folks, this is what he has done his whole career, is bounce around, and whether he likes that or not, I think there was a part of him, Tom, in preseason talks that he would have liked to stay at right guard just from the sense of, you know, staying at one position for multiple years. But, you know, I think this is the nature of the beast with him.
Yeah, and, you know, I think staying – moving to right tackle was the best thing that ever happened to him. I think he's played – better at right tackle than he did at right guard. That's just my initial feeling. I haven't really studied it, but it just from a anecdotal standpoint, I think that's been a good position for him.
Yeah, and it you know, it'll matter down in Houston to get this Packers offense going. But before we break down that matchup, Tom, I want to flip it to the Packers defense, because David Bakhtiari is not the only guy injured. There's about a dozen on the injury report at this point. Kevin King looks to be on his way back from a quad injury that left him out of Tampa. Josh Jackson, I know, you know, Jerry Gray didn't seem to think it was as bad as it looked. Some other metrics as well, if you're into that type of thing. For me, 40-yard pass interference penalties and things like that, those are bad regardless. So getting Kevin King back would be big, because one thing Houston can do and likes to do is push the ball down the field. And with that, Darnell Savage Jr. has been out. And I think, you know, Tom, I don't know how you've seen this. Savage Jr., we haven't seen the big plays. But then again, I think in an effort to minimize the over the top type of stuff that really plagued this team before he was drafted, frankly, he's been playing deep. And I don't know. I'm curious, what do you think that means heading in where you got Will Fuller and Brandon Cooks and Kenny Stills and Randall Cobb? You look, Deshaun Watson's playing still at a high level. They like to push it. They really do. Where do you see this secondary at? With King coming back, Savage maybe being out, and then, of course, the other issues they've just had generally through five games.
Yeah, I think if King is back and they have King, Alexander, and Sullivan, Sullivan and Alexander are playing at a really high level right now. They're not giving up much. is you could see the bulk of the action was with Josh Jackson. And then anytime they got one of the safeties matched up in man coverage with a tight end, that's when the Packers got in trouble against Tampa Bay. Defensively, you know, the pass defense wasn't terrible. It's just they kept giving up key first downs. And it wasn't because Mike Evans was beating them, and it wasn't really because Chris Godwin was beating them. It was because they were taking advantage of a one-on-one with Gronkowski. So I think they'll be okay, especially with King back. And I don't think, while Savage is a starter for a reason, I think if they went with Will Redmond there, they would be okay. Raven Green has been, in my opinion, hasn't been great lately. So one of those two guys could handle the position. It's just, I don't know if, you know, there's going to be far less options for Deshaun Watson if Kevin King is playing.
Yeah, it's it'll be interesting, Tom. Rob Gronkowski, I mean, I was flat out stunned that he had an impact on Sunday. He had been, you know, I mean, he looked old in the Super Bowl, which, and even 2 years later, I mean, to have his best game and to win one-on-ones with Adrian Amos and Oren Burks and Raven Green, this just seemed surprising to me. And look, I just ran through the receivers. Darren Fells is still doing it. 3 touchdowns on 14 catches. Jordan Atkins, the other tight end in Houston, he has a touchdown, 14 catches. So, yes, the running backs matter there. But actually, Kenny Stills is kind of been the odd man out of that offense. He only has 8 receptions in 6 games. So it's, you know, Fuller, Cooks, and Cobb, the 2 tight ends, and then they hit David Johnson out of the backfield. So, you know, that interior coverage unit of the Packers, to what you said, Tom, with the corners playing well, Channon Sullivan playing well, it's kind of what we saw a year ago, where, and maybe it's because the other tight ends they have played to this point couldn't be a factor. Like, you know, Jared Cook was not really an issue in New Orleans.
No.
Maybe that's because they actually pressured Drew Brees. I don't know. I mean, I feel like
there was pressure.
Yeah.
And Hutchinson did okay against.
Yeah.
Kyle Rudolph had that one fabulous catch in the end zone, but other than that, wasn't that big a factor. But, you know, if, you know, as soon as someone is down, it seems like they have trouble making up for it. So Kevin King is out and they put Josh Jackson in there, and then they're so worried about him that they're giving him all the help, and it winds up leaving Amos one-on-one with Gronkowski, and the Buccaneers are just licking their chops over that. So they don't seem to be very good at adjusting when someone's out. So having Kevin King back is going to help them a lot. And I'm assuming he is going to start. He's been in practice both days today, or both days this week. So I would guess he's going to play.
And you know, as they always like to say, Tom, it takes all 11, and it's an 11-man unit. Look, Kevin King played the first 3 weeks of the year, 3.5. I mean, coverage helps pressure. Pressure helps coverage. But I have a hard time believing that, you know, Kevin King missing a game and a half has really affected what Za'Darius and Preston Smith are supposed to be doing.
No, right.
I mean, Kingsley Keke had 2 sacks against Drew Brees. We haven't heard his name since. Yes, Kenny Clark is now back into form, you would think. Heading to Houston, he may be at a point he can affect the pocket. What's going on pass rush-wise, Tom? I mean, the Smith brothers became a T-shirt and a slogan and, you know, television's favorite duo every week. But where are those two at through 5 weeks? And is it fair to wonder what's going on there and maybe why they haven't been affecting the quarterback as much?
Well, this is kind of a multifaceted question, because Za'Darius Smith, they have overcome the amount of double teaming that he was getting in the early going. I've been kind of charting it, and they're finding ways to get him singled up. And, you know, he's got five sacks. He's got five quarterback hits. He's doing what you would expect of him. He's not dominating the way he did last year when nobody knew who the heck he was. And, you know, they double him when they can, but he's getting plenty of single teams. He should, some of the stuff he's doing should be opening things up for other guys. Preston Smith has been dropping into coverage more, but his pass rush hasn't been as good. But what about Dean Lowry? Where is his pass rush? I haven't seen him near the quarterback all year. And, you know, Lancaster has played better, but he's not a pass rusher. And you finally saw something out of Montrevious Adams in the Tampa Bay game, and they got to hope that that's kind of a sign to come. And Kingsley Keke is going to be a streaky player. He's a young guy. He's in his second year. When Kenny Clark starts getting more attention and he's back in form, then the expectations should be higher for Keke. But really, it's you got a bunch of guys who just aren't making any big plays. And I don't know what the answer is to that. I don't know why Preston Smith is not getting around the corner like he was. And Dean Lowry is a mystery to me. I mean, he's never a dominant pass rusher, but he was at least getting in the backfield. And so I don't know. They got to figure that out.
Yeah, defensive line coach Jerry Montgomery is always quick to say that his group – is not on the field on third down. He's like, we only usually ever have one defensive lineman. And I'm sure that's him trying to stick up for his guys and knowing that, you know, they're trying to play run and pass.
Yeah, but teams don't just pass on third down either. You know, right. They pass on second down and first down. And so you got to get sacks then too. And I just haven't wonder why they're not doing it. Getting anything done.
Yeah, and Rashawn Gary, you know, started the year really strongly. I felt he really, what we saw in camp was translating to the field. He injures the ankle, he misses a game. So I wonder if also their time, he's a guy who had been on the injury report a bunch last year as a rookie. Yeah. Either A, that ankle is really bothering him and he's just cutting through it, or I don't know, I don't know where else to go with him either. Because what happened from that first week or two where he was healthy and then produced, and then we haven't really heard 52 called either.
Yeah, I would suspect the ankle has something to do with it, but you know he had moments where he completely disappeared last year. A lot of those moments, and so you don't really know, and. I kind of feel like this game, they've got everything in place. So Gary's been back for 2 weeks. Kenny Clark, this is the second game back. So he's going to not be as rusty as he was last time. I mean, you have to remember he missed, three and a half games plus a bye week. So it was, you can't expect him to dominate in his first game back. But this game, he should be a lot better. This is a game where I would expect them to be a lot better. And I would just suspect that Matt LaFleur feels the same way.
Yeah, and that's a good segue there, Tom, too. Let's flip to the offense. I mean, at the top of this podcast, we kind of joked at the quarterback being a little salty this week. Well, the first question he got was have teams figured out the offense after just 1 week? And I guess I can understand the question, but I can appreciate his response in saying it was just one game. So how do the Packers on offense get back to where they're going? Let's real quick, not only is the left tackle hurt, so you're going to get some shuffle on the offensive line. Robert Tonyan, essentially their one playmaker at the tight end position, has not practiced. He injured an ankle. So you might have a change there. Tyler Irvin has been banged up, missed the week. So where are they at in resetting the offense heading into, again, a really banged up and not very good Texans defense?
Yeah, well, where they should be is holding Aaron Jones on a pedestal. Yeah. They should be coming into this game with a game plan that gets the ball in his hands 20 times. And, you know, they lost sight of that, even though his runs were, you know, he was 10 for 15, but you got to keep feeding him the ball. You absolutely have to, even if he's only getting you 2 or 3 yards, because at any moment he's going to break something. And I felt like they had a couple of big long runs, you know, that if they had kept running the ball, those kind of runs might have pulled Tampa Bay out of its blitz package. You know, if they could have hit them on in a gap where that wasn't covered because of the blitz, they might have pulled Tampa Bay out of that thing. But they never gave themselves the chance to do it. So I think the game plan has to be revolve around Aaron Jones more. They, for whatever reason, coaches, even back to McCarthy, they just lose track of the fact that it's good to give Aaron Jones the ball a lot. And that'll be the start. And then they got to work on the Texans secondary after that, you know, establish the run a little bit and then bomb them with play action.
So where do you fall on, you know, Leroy Butler had said that he felt, you know, the return of Adams led to Rodgers forcing the issue toward Adams. I guess I didn't feel it that way. I just thought that because the run didn't work, they got so discombobulated with the pass game. And I'll be honest, I thought the early interceptions knocked the quarterback for a little bit of a loop.
Yes.
And then the defense did. So how do you see, because you're right, Tom, I think this pass game is so married to the run game, and that's what they want. I think what we saw in Tampa was they didn't really adjust very well when the run was shut down with how to make it work. And I think that was part of it, was they got away from giving it to the running backs, where sometimes, look, you have to continue to run it even into the wall in order to make the play action and the boots work. So yeah. Am I off there? Did they go so far away from it that, oh, Adams has to get the ball? I guess I didn't see that.
I did think that he forced it a little bit, or was a little bit looking for Adams, but you know, that's typically the case. You think about the Minnesota game. What you want is, yeah, you want to throw the ball to him a lot, but you also want to make sure that you're getting it, distributing it at other places. Now, you're not always going to get as many plays as you got against Minnesota, but if you recall, every single guy was getting some kind of action. Valdez-Scantling, you know, Aaron Jones, Tonyan, DeGuara. I mean, it seemed like everybody, Lazard, everybody was involved, and he still threw the ball a ton to Adams. So I guess I'm okay with him forcing it, but they've got to be more diverse. He's got to be committed to using everything. Now, maybe guys just weren't getting open. It looked like guys weren't getting open, and he didn't have enough time to do anything. But for whatever reason, they just didn't have an answer for that blitz, and they got to be prepared, because teams are going to look at that and say, all right, well, maybe we can get away with that.
Yeah, and I think it is a reminder for Packers fans who are going crazy that not everyone has Devin White and Levante David. Yeah. So yes, teams may try to replicate some of that, but honestly, I don't know, honestly, Tom, until San Francisco, because I think their inside linebackers are the only ones who are still healthy on that defense. Yeah. And maybe Chicago. I mean, they're just not going to see that type of talent and ability with every team. And then also,
not every team. No, right. They will see it again with San Francisco. They would see it if they met Seattle in the playoffs. They'll see it with Chicago. But you're right. Not every team can do what Tampa can do. I think what will remain a question is whether they'll be able to attack it the next time. That was the question when they lost to San Francisco, was can they figure out how to block that front four and keep those linebackers in check? And the answer was no. They couldn't do it even the second time either.
Yeah, and it'll be and you mentioned the other receivers, and that's the thing, Tom. How do I say this? It's a reminder to me of why LaFleur was hired, because at this stage in his career, Aaron Rodgers, and we knew this, we saw this last year at times. Yes, he can get out of the phone booth with the S on his chest at times, but there needs to be other things set up for him to be able to do that. And I'll be honest, the reason I picked the Packers to win is because I thought that would happen Sunday against Tampa. I thought Aaron Jones would be bottled up, and I thought the quarterback would play his best game. And Tampa did enough. Look, Malik Taylor, that ball took him just out of the end zone. Marquez Valdes-Scantling was open on yes, there were only two deep balls. Yes, I understand that. But maybe 6 years ago, that throw is made and those big passes are completed. That didn't happen. I don't think other teams can do that. And I think it just shows that, again, that the quarterback needs a little more help than maybe 6, 7 years ago to make those plays happen or to be able to get out of the phone booth cleanly. I don't know. I
thought they were going to be Tampa Bay too, but I thought it was going to be a really defensive struggle. I watched Tampa Bay against Chicago, and I saw an offense that looked not really dangerous, but a defense that was really good. And so I thought this was going to be like a 23-20 game. And, it could have been if Rodgers doesn't throw the two interceptions. And if they hit one or two plays, if he hits Mercedes Lewis down the middle or hits Valdes-Scantling, that changes the game a lot because it makes Tampa Bay think a little bit about whether they can be that aggressive. But when they're winning down after down playing that way, why would they stop? And you have to give them credit too. They never backed off. They just said, it's 14-10. We're up 14-10. We're still going after it, and then 21-10, we're still going to go after it. And some teams would back off, and I give them a lot of credit. They said, no way, we're not doing that.
Yeah. And I do think, Tom, as we wrap this up here, the Houston game reminds me a little bit of Atlanta coming in. I mean, we thought Atlanta might have an interim coach as well at that point. They do now. Explosive offense, very good quarterback, big deep threats. But generally speaking, I mean, look, they're 1-5 and going in the wrong direction. And so I think that's – sure, they could present issues. It's an NFL team with a lot of names we all know. But at the end of the day, I think the track record of this Packers team and coaching staff – going against a team that just, sure, they can win, sure. But I it reminds me of that a little bit, Tom, where I think if they don't let Houston get off the mat and do some of the stuff that they like to do early, I could see this kind of rolling where the Packers kind of can get right in Houston.
Yeah, I mean, I sort of want to take Houston in this game, but I can't bet on that defense. I just can't. you know, they'll find a way for Aaron Jones to get something going, and Davante Adams. I would be, unless that defense just is super fired up and turns the corner, but they're giving up yards right and left. I think they're averaging giving up like 5.4 yards per carry, and they've given up, I think, 13 passing touchdowns, something like that. So, you know, I kind of think the Packers were a little bit rattled, but I just don't see Houston having, you know, if they were getting ready to play San Francisco, then I would go with San Francisco. But I don't think Houston has enough to take them down.
Yeah, they're just a bad team. I mean, they're the worst rush defense in football with, you know, with yards allowed and then yards per carry. They're the second worst rushing offense in football. 21st in pass defense. I mean, really all they do well is they throw the ball on offense. And let's be honest, if there were some explosives the Packers gave up, but through five games, even with or without King and Savage, that is one thing Mike Pettine's group has been better at this year, is not allowing the giant over-the-top, big, explosive pass plays. Yeah.
And that's what they have to do here, and figure out a way to keep Deshaun Watson in the pocket a little bit. Just don't let him go crazy running a ball. He's been sacked 19 times. I mean, he's been sacked a lot. So it's possible to keep him contained.
Yeah, and so – we will, of course, be covering this game wall-to-wall through the end of the week and through the weekend. We will not be in Houston again, unfortunately. Powers that be have decided that. So we will but Tom will have the live blog up and running. We've had more success with that, working through all the technical difficulties in a software change. Yeah,
it went much smoother. And the only sour part was – the readers who were quite kicked off with the Tampa loss.
So be sure to join Tom again on Sunday afternoon, and also go over and subscribe jsonline.com/deals. If you are in the state of Wisconsin or Milwaukee, head over to packersnews.com. If you are one of our beloved international and national listeners who only want your Packers news, you can just get that over at packersnews.com. Download the app as well. Turn on your push notifications so you will get all the latest and greatest from Tom, myself, Pete Doherty, Olivia Reiner, and Ryan Wood. You want to be sure to have all that locked in. And, yeah, we enjoy speaking with you. Thanks for listening. We will be back with you Sunday evening after the Packers travel to Houston and play the Texans. So for Tom, I am Jim. We will talk to you then.